Tom Telesco, kind enough to join us, the GM of the Silver and Black. Tom, thanks for coming on. How are you and your staff rested after a grind over not only the last couple of days, the last couple of months? How are you?
Yeah, it's been a grind since January. The draft's such a long process, a lot of people involved. I'm kind of somewhat relieved and glad it's over and we're now to the next phase, because the next phase is more fun. We've been on the grass with the players the last couple of days. And for me, getting to know our guys better, just watching them practice and just being out on the football field again and putting a team together, that's, to me, that's more gratifying than going through the draft process. The draft process is just part of, you know, team building, but actually getting out there with the players, watching practice, go through drills, getting a better feel for them, it's been fun the last couple of days.
You know, in all your years of being a GM, picking higher or picking lower than 13, and then Brock Bowers shows up there, and you talked about the dress rehearsal the day before, getting your whole team in the war room, everyone's there, and then all of a sudden, Tom, this plays out. I can't imagine what it was like. I know there were some contingency plans, but Eric Allen and I were on the pre leading right up to the draft, and we didn't even bring up Brock's name, not out of disrespect, we just didn't think he would be available. Then he starts becoming available, the Michael Penix move, and then Denver with Bo Nix, and especially the Jets passing on him. What was that like in real time as Brock Bowers came closer to you at 13?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad because we had already played it out probably a couple weeks before, just because you have to have all the scenarios covered. And there were some scenarios that, you know, he could be there with our picks. So let's talk about it, you know, 2 weeks before the draft. We're not going to talk about it while we're on the clock. So we had discussed where we were. We definitely knew that there's a good chance that all these quarterbacks could go early. You know, we had seen Atlanta go out and work out. Penix brought everybody out there. So we knew they liked him. Wasn't exactly sure where. It could be first round, could be second round, but we knew. And then we knew Denver was in the quarterback market. So so you just go through all the contingencies of what could happen. And look, in the end, just keep it real simple. Like the Raiders, we didn't score enough points last year on offense. Mm-hmm. So this is a player that can help us score. Guys that at least can make plays or playmaker plays, they come in all different positions, shapes, sizes. You know, it could be a running back, could be a tight end, could be a receiver, could be a slot, it could be whatever. And we think he can really help the offense as a piece, whether it's at the line of scrimmage as a tight end, whether it's split out as a receiver, whether it's as a big slot, could be as a wing. So there's a lot of versatility with this game, with Brock's game, and a lot of explosion in this game as far in the passing game. So in the end, it gives us an offensive playmaker early in the draft. And like you just said, we had worked through that scenario probably 2 weeks beforehand just in case that happened. So we were prepared for it.
Tom Telesco is our guest. You know, Tom, you have more access than our fans, obviously, in your scouting department with the film of Brock Bowers. I saw a lot of it, and then everybody's shooting me his YouTube video when I had him on stage there at the facility. He's got a 15-minute highlight video on YouTube and is arguably considered the greatest college tight end of all time with the two Mackeys and the two national championships. What did you see? Maybe a little nugget that all of our listeners would like to know on the flash of him, but the consistency that he brings to every game and every down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big billing right there. I mean, there's been, you know, I was just thinking, as you're talking about the greatest tight ends of all time, I was just thinking about some of the guys going through my head that may, you know, they may have an argument with you. But, no, his game is, there's just so many facets. You know, this is a big-time high school player, high recruit, which is why he ended up at Georgia. But he can do so many things with the ball in his hand, which usually is a tight end, especially for us, because we were looking for, you know, whether receiver, tight end, whatever, even a back, right after catch is so important in an offense. You know, get the ball out of the quarterback's hand, get some easy throws, and let the receiver go do his work. And Brock did that at a really high level at Georgia as far as run after catch, not only the instincts of it, but the athletic ability, the speed, and then he runs with an edge. I mean, he looks to break tackles, he looks for contact. And then the part of his game that goes a little bit overlooked for an athletic tight end is he does have some ability as a blocker because he's really tough, he's physical, he gets after it. He gives up a little bit of size to the bigger defensive ends, but he'll fight them down and down out. And then when he gets on the perimeter at the blocker, he's looking to knock people down. And that's a part of playing tight end in this league. Something he had to do at Georgia, because if you don't do that at Georgia, you won't get on the field, you don't get the ball. And our level is the same way. You know, you don't do the dirty work, then you might not get any passes in the passing game. So he's a pretty well-rounded tight end. decorated college career, mm-hmm. and he's coming in the door here at 21 years old. You know, so he still had a lot of development to do.
Tom Telesco is our guest. Jackson Powers Johnson, oh my God. The Oregon friends of mine up there who went to school, the alumni who watched every game, are just blown away. And at that point, Paul Fisher out of Notre Dame, there was some good right tackle still on the board, and a guy who played center who can clearly play guard here. What was the key to that pick as best available and a beast and a guy who looks to compete, obviously? You'll make the decision and coach will make the decision, but clearly a plug-and-play beast of a starter.
Well, he plays with the mentality that we're looking for, and you can see that pretty easily on the film. His tenacity, his nastiness, his physicalness, and it's just all-around effort of how he plays the game. The fact that he can, you know, probably play either guard spot and center is a big part of it for his career. You know, we're thinking guard right now. But he's going to come in and compete for mm-hmm. a job. And, again, this is a young player. He's 21 years old. Mm-hmm. His football background at Oregon is a little bit smaller, just there, you know, really, you know, two-year starter. So he still has a lot of growth in his game. But he has the things you can't teach, which is that mentality with how we want to play on both sides of the ball, but certainly on the offensive line. We think he's going to fit in really well there.
Yeah, and Tom, that's important because you said it at the press conference, too, getting players that can match the intensity of your head coach in Antonio Pierce. Is this like a perfect example of that? His sideline when he was there at the spring game and he was talking and he's got the Raider hat on and the autumn wind is a pirate. It sounds like he gets it as he walks in the building, the history of the offensive line for the Silver and Black.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, it makes scouting easy when you're scouting for an identity, when you're looking for players that fit an identity and you've defined that identity, which we've defined that here. So, you know, you can throw on a tape of any player and after, you know, you start rolling through it, you start getting a feel of, hey, does this guy fit us or not? And with him, it, you know, it's pretty quick. It's probably the first quarter, the first game you're watching. You're like, he plays with the mentality we're looking for. And then after that, you're starting to look for all the other traits, the strength, the leverage, the athletic ability, football intelligence, all that. But yeah, if you can define the identity of who you want to be, that makes scouting pretty easy as far as finding guys that fit that.
All right, so you get a corner in your last pick in round 7, Devonshire, and then Richardson in the 4th round. Clearly a need. You got good corners there, but you need possibly some more competition and some depth there. Tell me about your philosophy and your department going into getting a corner early in the draft and how satisfied you are.
Well, the philosophy is always you can never have enough corners. Mm-hmm. It's a passing league, which means you got to be able to cover. And corners are hard to find. And once the season starts, if you have injuries at that position, it's a very difficult position to add in season, someone that can come in and really play at a high level for you. So you can never have enough of them. I learned that from Bill Polian early on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, both those guys will come in and add to the depth, and hopefully they'll keep growing in our system. And that's the key. And there's some opportunity there. There's some good competition at that position. And that's why, you know, we end up, you know, really going back, not back to back as far as rounds, but at least adding two guys there. Mm-hmm. And we find a couple corners after the draft. And we'll keep looking between now and training camp because we'd like to try and make that the deepest group possible so we can weather the storm, which usually comes at some point during the year. You get that talent level as high as we can get it.
I was at the Biletnikoff Hall of Fame golf tournament on Monday, and Raider legend Phil Villapiano, Super Bowl champ, comes up to me and says, JT, I love Tommy Eichenberg. Oh, my God. He starts grabbing me. And I'm like, Phil, I know, and you love Spillane, and you love anybody who plays linebacker. And he was excited because he saw a lot of his games. Tell us about Tommy and how you can fit him in, especially special teams with the depth at the linebacker position.
I was just going to say, with those two linebackers, he probably sees himself and with how they play, which, again, we're looking for the identity of how we're going to play. And Tommy Eichenberg has that. He's all ball all the time. He's focused in. He plays the game hard, plays the game the way you're supposed to play it. And he played at a high level at, you know, one of the best schools in the country. So not surprised to hear that you know, Phil sees that same, the style of how he played and some of these guys that are here, you know, the guys, you know, with Spillane being one of them as far as how he plays. So him and Tommy, and, you know, we'll get those guys going. It's been fun watching Diablo run around mm-hmm. and Luke Masterson. Luke Masterson is a really good athlete. We know Devine's a really good athlete. So just trying to upgrade the talent on that group moving forward.
wrapping it up with Tom Telesco. So, Tom, the undrafted free agent's also something you're very strong at. So the draft ends, and all of a sudden, you're right on the phones, getting rolling here. Can you take our listeners behind the scenes, what that process was like for you, the amount of players you wanted to be in contact with? I heard you say there was some good players that were taken in the seventh round. You probably would have called them in if they were available. What was that process like for you the first time with the Raiders?
Yeah, it's controlled chaos is what it is after the draft, because everybody's doing the same thing as quickly as they can. We had a pretty good process to it between the scouts, the coaches, and then actually the biggest part of it is David Kristoff here. He kind of keeps track of the money, because there's a cap on what you can give signing bonus-wise. So when you're dealing with multiple players at multiple positions in a short amount of time, you have to have somebody very dialed in, focused, and good with the numbers to make sure we don't go over the limit. So he kind of handled that. JoJo Wooden and Champ Kelly and Brandon Uhrin kind of directed the area scouts as far as where we're going with what players. And then the coaches kind of helped with the recruiting of those players. And you have to make some quick decisions in real time. And I think we ended up signing 16 or 17 players after the draft very quickly. But and we'll see how they work out. I'm excited about the group once they get in here. But what I liked was the process of everyone working. Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate team working together in the draft process after the draft, because you're looking at maybe, you know, 30 to 40 people working together in the same time, and we get it all done in about 30 minutes. So it was just great to see everyone work together, and we'll see how this crop looks.
Hey, Tom, finally, 12 personnel. A lot of fans are learning more about that and the style of this. I asked our research department there, we got such a great unit there at Silver and Black Productions, to go back to when Raymond Chester played with Dave Casper in 79. They both went to the Pro Bowl, two of the greatest tight ends of all time. And now we're hearing more about 12 personnel and Luke Getsy. And look, we're not here to tip what the Raider offense is going to be. It's a work in progress, but you seem really excited about the additions here and this scheme that Luke Getsy is going to have a chance to put together on the field as early as now throughout training camp in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, you're just looking for different ways to attack a defense. Obviously, Raymond Chester and Dave Casper, that's a pretty good way to do it, especially the way they played football then. The game's a little bit more wide open now, and those guys would have fit this game at this point, definitely, if they were playing now. Those guys are great receiving tight ends and excellent athletes and great hands. To have potentially two, you know, we know what Michael can do, and you saw what Michael could do last year, Michael Mayer, with the matchups that he has. He's a tough cover for people, because not only is he really athletic, they can separate, but he's got a really thick, strong body, and he can play through contact, and he's got just a great feel in the passing game, like a natural feel for zone, for separating. And then we're going to get Brock in the mix, and both those guys, we can move around, because even when Michael was at Notre Dame, they would split him out as a receiver sometimes. Obviously, Brock has been split out before. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're both on the field. They both have to line up on the line of scrimmage with the five offensive linemen. We can do anything we want with them. And then obviously you got the receivers as a part of that. So it's exciting. And the more you can do to try and stress the defense, the better. So that's the part of the goal with that.
Hey, Tom, last one. When you were there the day after, you're upstairs working, the draft's going on, Brock Bowers gets introduced, and he goes through the motions, sits down with our department, and then we bring him out on the field, and there's five high schools out there, boys and girls, flag, tackle football, the whole indoor facility set up to welcome this kid to come in. That's never happened before. That's on your dime now with Coach Pierce to say, we are going to open this up. We're transparent. We want our fans and the student-athletes here in town to experience that. I thought that was fantastic, introducing Brock Bowers and his family that way. What did that mean to you as you're new to the organization, but you're seeing the way the organization runs from within?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, because my office actually looks down on the practice field. And the draft hadn't started yet, so I was in here doing some work, and I'm looking down there. And seeing everybody excited about the draft. And hey, the more we can do with high school athletes, not just football players, but all sports, the better. There's nothing better, and there's nothing better for development of high school kids than playing some sort of sport in school. So the more we can get them out here, get them excited. I know Brock walking around, he was just taking in the whole environment. And, you know, he's coming from the University of Georgia, so that's pretty big level right there. But to see the excitement here, the passion for, you know, that Raiders fans is unmatched. But yeah, it was a pretty cool event. I actually wanted to go down there, and I kind of thought twice about it, but figured I do have some work to do here. but it's just a commitment that this organization has made to Las Vegas and you know, not only the fans, but the local high schools. And one of the cool things we did probably a couple weeks before the draft is we did a local day where we had players work out either from UNLV, either USC, UCLA, because they count as our local schools by NFL standards. And then we had some kids from Bishop Gorman and Centennial, some different high schools that were playing that were college juniors or seniors. We had them work out here. I thought that was a pretty neat event to have, you know, some high school kids that, you know, went out and played Division I football or even Division II football and had a chance to work out for their hometown team, the Las Vegas Raiders. And, you know, typically some of those guys we signed in the past after the draft, so we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, it's just a commitment that this team has made, this organization has made to Las Vegas, which is great to see.
Thank you so much for your time, Tom. I know you've been real busy. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes. All the best.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.